Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the epistle for this Sunday, from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. As I drive around our city, I often see churches with a sign that says, "All are welcome." We could, in fact, have these words on the sign in front of our church. All are welcome. And yet that welcoming invitation can prove to be a dangerous half-truth. Yes, all are welcome in the Church of Jesus, and all are called to repentance. All are called to repentance. All human beings, both outside and inside the church, because we are without exception sinners who do not fear, love, and trust in God as we should, nor do we love our fellow human beings as we love ourselves. Yes, all are welcome in the Church of Jesus, and all are called to repentance. In the very first of the 95 theses which Luther set forth 500 years ago, he wrote, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ says, 'Repent,' he means that the whole life of Christians should be repentance." And in saying this, Dr. Luther was but echoing the words of Jesus. For the gospel writers tell us that after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Yes, all are welcome in the Church of Jesus, and all of us, without exception, are called to repentance. And can anyone look at the world as it is and fail to see that the whole human race is in need of the Savior from sin? As someone has truly said, we human beings are born out of sympathy with God. Or in the memorable words of C.S. Lewis, "Fallen man is not simply an imperfect creature who needs improvement. He is a rebel who must lay down his arms." All are welcome in the Church of Jesus. All are called to repentance. And the epistle which from ancient times has been read on this Sunday in church is an earnest call to repentance. It's a small fragment of the first letter St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, which Paul himself had established there. The city of Corinth was one of the big harbor cities of the Roman Empire, and it was chock full of vice and superstitious cults and the moral problems of that environment. And all of that had its effect on the life of the church in Corinth. There was in that church a case of incest, of members calling one another into court. There were several factions. There was even drunkenness in connection with the Holy Communion. There was gossip about the church leaders, and there was denial of the Christian hope of the resurrection of the body, a denial that so often seems to accompany moral decay. And so St. Paul calls the Corinthians to repentance. He warns them of the danger of falling away from Christ by holding up before them the falling away, the apostasy of the Israelites in their wilderness wanderings after God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. There was their idolatry in the worship of the golden calf. There was fornication. There was grumbling against God. And Paul tells them of how the Israelites then perish in their sins. He writes, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages is come." And Paul adds, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." Paul's warning to those Christians in Corinth is also his warning to us Christians here in Baltimore about 2,000 years later. We delude ourselves if we imagine that we are Christ's people when we willingly participate in the apostasy which marks these days. Yes, all are welcome in the Church of God, and all of us without exception are called to repentance. But St. Paul doesn't stop here. He goes on to remind those troubled Corinthian Christians that God is faithful. God kept his ancient promise to the children of Israel and sent his only and eternal Son as the Messiah, the promised Savior, who as our substitute lived a life of perfect love to his Father and all us sinners, and who on Calvary's cross suffered the judgment we by our sins have deserved, that we might live in the joy of God's forgiven children, comforted by his Holy Spirit, and destined for the joy everlasting of which this holy supper we now share is the pledge and foretaste. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father.